I didn't realize that everybody here dresses up every year.
Me neither.
It's Halloween. That is really, really good timing.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, Ethan Weiss here with you once again. Before we get into the win over the Redskins, we got to take care of the housekeeping. So first things first, you can follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. With that all being said, we can get into the New York Football Giants' first victory of the season. Boy, it was an ugly one. But as someone pointed out to me on Twitter, I had been complaining for weeks that the Giants needed to just hashtag find a way. And on Sunday, as ugly as it was, they found a way.
Well, I think the Washington football team found a way for the Giants to win a game.
They did. You know, it's funny. I was a huge fan of Riverboat Ron going for two at the end of the game. I think I tweeted it like 30 seconds before, and I said, you know, if they score here, they should absolutely go for two. Which is funny, because if the shoe were on the other foot, I can say with absolute certainty the Giants would have kicked the field goal and taken this game to overtime. So kudos to Ron Rivera for having a pair of balls and going for it at the end. I know it didn't work out for him, but listen, when you're as bad of a football team as both of these teams are, you have nothing to lose. And I know that, you know, both coaches are a little bit delusional in the fact that they each, and they're not wrong, the division is within reach. You're rebuilding, you know. The Redskins just benched Dwayne Haskins. Kyle Allen's not the future. Alex Smith's not the future. You know that they are going to be at least trying to evaluate this upcoming quarterback class, trying to find someone to replace Haskins, be it in free agency or in the draft. You just know that this is not, it's just not the team. You know, they don't have the guys that they anticipate will win them football games. So you take chances. And I'm sure we'll touch on Joe Judge's decision-making in the game. A lot of cowardly punts, field goal attempts. You're just, to me, this is the most pass-friendly league in NFL history. Between the frequency of pass interference and holding and illegal contact calls, and the decrease this year of offensive holding calls, I almost always will be a proponent of going for it in fourth and short situations, close to midfield, even slightly in your own territory. Because in this NFL, if you can't gain at least a yard or two on a play, you just don't deserve to be on the field. And you know, I'll start there. Let's talk about Judge's decision making in the game, because honestly, way too conservative for my liking.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. I think I'm not going to say it's fully Joe Judge, but he is the head coach. But Jason Garrett's play calling has been really bad, and the Giants' offense.
That's been a theme the entire season. I think most fans would be very, very okay if Jason Garrett was a one-and-done with the New York Giants.
Absolutely. I mean, the way it's going right now, I don't see how he's not one-and-done. But, I mean, just to put into perspective how pathetic the Giant offense is, there are three teams in the NFL right now that are not averaging at least 300 total yards per game. And those three teams are the New York Jets, the Washington football team, and the New York Giants. And it's a problem, man. If you're not able to move the ball in today's NFL, if you're not able to score points in today's NFL, I believe the Giants are bottom five in scoring, bottom five in passing yards, they're bottom five in total offense, and they're bottom five in running the ball. I mean, they are anemic across the board. They can't score, they can't run, they can't pass. And, you know, you said it was an ugly win. I mean, it was about as ugly of a win as I can imagine. I mean, there was nothing really positive for me to come out of it. I know it's shocking because the Giants haven't won a lot of games, but I mean, they looked really bad. They continue to have the same struggles, and it just so happens that another team in their division, Washington, really is stuck in the same gear as them in terms of talent, in terms of being competitive, and it helps them because they're able to get these division wins and not be the sort of, you know, they're not alone in the basement of the NFC East.
Yeah, and it's an idiom that I use frequently, and, you know, pardon me because I, at this point in society, I don't know if it's politically correct, but being the tallest midget in the room, and whoever wins the NFC East is essentially the tallest midget in the room, because there are, I think, 6 or 7 teams that have as many wins as the entire NFC East. So it's a bad division. I think one...
it's a historically bad division.
Historically bad. I mean,
this year, it's always had these kind of years where 8 wins, 9 wins wins you the
right.
division. But this year, I mean, holy...
I mean, we could legitimately be staring at a 5 or 6 win team going to the playoffs. But,
yeah,
you know, one of the most telling things to me is just how conservative the Giants were with Dan Jones.
Yes.
Or the Giants quarterback throughout the entire game. I mean, it was run the ball, quick pass, make Dan Jones run it with his legs. You know, don't make him make a mistake. And I think that really contributed to Joe Judge's conservative decision making. And I'm just, I'm not souring on Judge. It's not time. But it's very fair to criticize the game plan, because let's call a spade here. If Washington converts that 2-point conversion at the very end of the game, I think the beginning of this episode takes a much different tune. I think fans,
or if they don't miss a field goal,
field goal or extra. No, it was the extra point, right?
Or if Kyle Allen doesn't turn the ball over.
I mean, literally, just handed the Giants a free touchdown. I don't even know what that was. It wasn't even like someone hit the ball. He straight up just dropped it, and Tate Crowder took it for 6. But you know, the missed extra point, the Kyle Allen, the going for 2 at the end. Like, the Washington football team, I don't want to say they tried to lose the game, but it doesn't feel like the Giants won the game. No, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, on that 2-point conversion, Kyle Allen could have definitely...
run it in.
He had a good chance of running it in.
Yeah.
I think if he would have ran in, he would have got it. I mean, Kyle Allen. I mean, this guy sucks.
Terrible.
I don't like to say people suck, but dude... I mean, holy cow.
All right, so let's go through a little exercise here.
Okay.
All right. I don't know if you want to write this down on your phone, a piece of paper on your computer, but I'm gonna read out. We're doing a player A, player B.
Okay.
Okay. Player A, 15 NFL starts.
Okay.
63.1 completion percentage.
Okay.
83.1 passer rating.
Okay.
Career, 21 touchdowns, 17 interceptions, 11 fumbles.
Okay.
3,942 passing yards, okay. 140 rushing yards.
Okay.
Player B, 18 NFL starts. So 3 more.
Mm-hmm.
61.7 completion percentage. So, call it 1.5 worse than player A. 82.6 passer rating, roughly the same, 0.5 difference. 27 touchdowns, 18 interceptions, 18 fumbles, 4,250 passing yards, 483 rushing yards. You got all that?
Yes. I know that the one you just explained, that is
player
Daniel
B.
Jones.
Player B is Dan Jones.
Yes.
Do you know who player A is?
What was the rushing yards again?
140.
Okay, so it's not Kyler Murray.
It is not Kyler Murray.
Is it Kyle Allen?
It is Kyle Allen.
Yeah.
It's not good. I mean, and we're talking about two guys who, you know, Kyle Allen and 6 overall Dan Jones, both of whom have played on shit rosters, both in Carolina, yes. Washington, and the Giants. And I'm sorry, Giants fans will lower the bar by any means necessary to convince themselves or try to convince others that their team did not fuck up. We did this all last season. I think we ended every episode by doing our Danometer.
Right.
Mine is zero.
Zero.
Like, and zero in the sense that you can't tell me that with what you've seen that this guy is a franchise quarterback capable of elevating players around him. Because we did this exercise last episode, franchise quarterback versus starting quarterback. With a 6 overall pick taking the most important position, I'll say in professional sports, not just football.
Yes.
The hardest and most important position in professional sports. With 6 overall pick, you are trying to get a franchise guy. And kudos to the Jets, because I don't think I've ever seen a team as fucking terrible as they are.
I watched the Miami Jet game.
Yeah.
Because I was at a relative's house, and he's a Jet fan, and that man actually pays for the Sunday ticket to watch the Jets every week. He pays money.
Poor guy.
To watch the Jets every game and every week. And I watched, this is the most I've watched the Jets since, it was literally on the TV in front of me along with the Green Bay and Tampa Bay game. I mean, the Jets remind me, when I was in high school, our high school football team was not good. They're one of the worst teams in the county. Now they're good, but at the time they were not good at all. And every time they would play a game and I would go watch them and, you know, support the school, it looked like we didn't belong in the same field as these guys. It looked like we had learned football 10 minutes ago. When I watch the Jets, like, that's what they remind me of.
Yeah.
The only thing
that makes sense is that they're keeping Adam Gase on board so that they remain as terrible as they are in hopes of getting Trevor Lawrence. And if I'm Trevor Lawrence, I'm pulling an Eli at the draft.
Me too.
Or I'm going back to college. I am not going to the fucking Jets.
No.
But anyway, back to my main point. 6 overall pick, your goal is to get the guy. And Dave Gettleman had a very good, so it seems, free agent class this past offseason. But everyone touted his ability to identify talent in the draft. He has not done that. And that should not be exclusive of the Dan Jones pick. Because you could say, oh, he's got shit pieces around him. It's all true. Franchise quarterbacks make players around them better. He has not elevated the players around him. And there's a lot of pieces that go into it. You can argue Jason Garrett. You can argue the short offseason. You can argue that he's got a terrible roster around him. These are things that apply to every quarterback in the league. Every quarterback's got a bad offensive line. Every quarterback's got, you know, some no-name receivers. He just hasn't shown me enough to make me believe that he is the guy. And Joe Judge's game plan this past weekend shows me that they don't have confidence in this guy to air it out against a team even as bad as the Redskins. So, yeah, the Giants are still currently out of contention for Trevor Lawrence, barring a miracle. I am still evaluating the other quarterbacks in this draft class because, according to, who was it, Graziano today, Gettleman is on thin ice and is likely fired after this season. Yes. You can't really tell me that someone like Ed Dodds or Nick Caserio,
or whoever the GM is.
Or whoever the GM is.
Yeah.
Borgonzi, my guy, is my number one pick so far, is Mike Borgonzi, is going to come in here, and with a top five, likely top five pick in the draft, you can't tell me that they're going to be like, oh, let's not evaluate the quarterbacks. It's going to happen.
Right. It, most definitely. I think with Daniel Jones, it's, I mean, we talked about a couple weeks ago, starter versus franchise and the difference of those. The main thing with me with Daniel Jones is, right, is what I look at is I know everything around him is bad. The offensive line is not doing good, although it has gotten better over the course of the last couple weeks. The play calling is atrocious. The weapons are horrible. He has no running game. He's the team's leading rusher. But the thing with him is the turnovers, you know, and it's not just like fumbles. I mean, he has 6 interceptions this year. In his career, you know, he's played 18 career games, right? 18 career starts.
Yep.
18 career starts, 18 interceptions. Or excuse me, yeah, 18 career starts, 18 interceptions. That's one a game. That's not good enough. Like, you can't be turning the ball over. I mean, he has 3 touchdowns.
It's 18
year.
Interceptions and 18 fumbles.
Yes.
That's 2 turnovers a start.
Right. I took out fumbles because we can, you know, those, we can discuss those, right? You know, but just in terms of interceptions, if you're throwing 1 interception a game, that means you're helping the other team at least 1 time a game. That's not sustainable. It's tough to win in this league when your quarterback is turning the ball over at the rate that Daniel Jones is. He has done some good things. Is it enough for me to say this is our franchise quarterback? No. And I think the big thing is when people say, well, he doesn't have the right people around him. You're right. But at any point, in an NFL season, when you're after a season, if the question is asked, do you have an NFL franchise quarterback? And your response is, I think I do. I just need to put players around him. That translates to no, and that means that you should probably be looking at the quarterback market, both in the draft and the free agency.
It's the I do, but.
Yeah, undecided is a no. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you can't be undecided and then tell me, well, I'm not going to look at the quarterbacks. I'm not going to contemplate taking a quarterback. So with Daniel Jones, like I said, we talked about this. This season and the remainder of the season is really an evaluation of him. And is he going to get better? Because like I said earlier, their passing game is atrocious. Their running game is atrocious. They're not scoring enough points to be able to win in the NFL today. And your quarterback is turning the ball over at an alarming rate. No matter what anyone says, you cannot turn the ball over as much as Daniel Jones turns the ball over and then tell me that you're comfortable with him as your quarterback moving forward.
Yep.
You can't. You simply cannot do that. I'm undecided. I don't know. I get it. And that's sort of where I am. I don't know what Daniel Jones is. But one thing I do know is he's turning the football over a lot. And if that doesn't get cleaned up, I mean, I'm with you. Like, you have to look at the draft. And it's not just Trevor Lawrence. It's not just, you know, tanking for Trevor or suffering for Trevor. No. It's about looking at the other quarterbacks, looking at Trey Lance, looking at Justin Fields. But, you know, the next 10 games, it's an evaluation.
Yeah.
Daniel Jones is going against the quarterbacks in next year's draft. And so, you know, we'll see what happens. But the Giant offense right now, it is, I mean, it's bad. I mean, it's really disgusting. Just looking at, if you look at just the numbers, I mean, when you watch them, you know that it's a team that's an offense that is just lacking everything. Good quarterback play, weapons, coaching. I mean, they're lacking it all. But when you look at the numbers, I mean, it's just so bad at how anemic this offense is. And it's why we are 6 games into the season and we're already talking about Jason Garrett being one and done.
Yeah.
And I don't want to hear the excuse of they didn't have OTAs, they didn't have training camp, a proper training camp, because that's everybody in the NFL had to deal with that. That's just
including
the Giants.
Including teams with new offensive coordinators.
And rookie quarterbacks.
Right. So Matt Peart was good.
Yes, that was interesting. That was interesting to see Joe Judge do that. That was a very, I hate to use this, it was a very Belichick-like move. And I'm not saying that that's, you know, Joe Judge is Bill Belichick. I'm just saying, like, for him to bench the number overall pick, that's not something that we've seen from a Giants coach in the past.
Sure.
This shows that he is going to, when he says he's going to hold everyone accountable, everybody the same, no matter where they're drafted, how much money they get paid, this is it. I mean, you bench Andrew Thomas. And I know they're saying that it's not, I know he like missed a team meeting or was late to a team meeting, I'm sorry. But I know there's some performance. It was performance-based as well. It was a little bit of that. And especially because Matt Peart was playing well. But one thing I'll say is Matt Peart deserves to play more. Like you mentioned the left tackle by committee. I think Matt Peart deserves more than just this part-time role right now. He deserves to be on the field a lot more. And hopefully, as we continue to move forward in the season, he's on the field more. Because remember, this is a third-round pick, and typically your top three first-round picks, in my opinion, should be able to play, you know, early in the season.
Yeah,
in their rookie year.
Yeah. So some baseline stats. He was the highest graded player in the Giants offense per Pro Football Focus. Highest graded player that played at least 25 plus snaps. He graded 89.7, including 93.4 in the run block department, and he only gave up one pressure on 11 pass block snaps. That's tremendous. Jim Nagy, who is the guy who organizes the Senior Bowl,
yes,
was adamant that Matt Peart was a long-term left tackle candidate because of his athleticism. He's 6'7", 315 pounds. I think he had... I don't know. This could be totally wrong. He had like 36-inch arms. It was some crazy stat, like some of the longest arms in the entire draft. And an unusually optimistic take for me, I don't care who was drafted where. If Matt Peart and Andrew Thomas can be the Giants' left and right tackle, it does not matter who is what.
Yes,
for the next 10 years, that is a win.
Big
and
time.
Absolutely, Matt Peart should be starting the rest of the season, because we know what Cam Fleming is. We know he's not a long-term piece of the puzzle. Get Matt Peart in the game. He played well. He deserves more reps. Let's go.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Matt Peart, and he's also like, I don't know if you've watched his interviews on Giants.com. I have watched some of his. He's a very likable dude, like the way he presents himself. This is a guy that you can definitely see like rooting for. And I like Matt Peart a lot. And again, like you said, third-round pick. And to me, those guys typically should be able to start week one or early in the season. But yeah, this notion that, you know, right tackle isn't important as left. Like, to me, if Matt Peart is your starting left tackle and Andrew Thomas is your starting right tackle, that is a huge win coming out of one draft if you're able to find your franchise tackles. So I'm with you, man. That's, to me, Peart should be playing more. And whether it's left side or right side, that really doesn't make a difference to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. What else from the game?
I think we need to give some love to Tay Crowder.
And Patrick Graham.
Yes.
But, yes, Tay Crowder.
Tay Crowder.
Who is on IR now.
Yes. But it's like, you know, the new IR rules.
I know.
Like,
3 weeks, like, COVID.
Whatever. Tay Crowder might be like a good linebacker.
He might be like a good Giants linebacker.
Yes. And I like that. I mean, he's an interesting player. He's an interesting size. He's sort of like that Swiss Army knife type guy. I like him. I like him a lot. And I know the touchdown, he scored a touchdown, but it was a play made by the pass rusher. I forget which pass rusher it was. I got to go back and look at it. But he was the guy that scooped up the ball. I genuinely like Tate Crowder. And it's awesome that he was Mr. Irrelevant.
Yes, agreed.
And the other guy that deserves a lot of love is James Bradberry.
Yes. We should make an effort to do a James Bradberry appreciation segment every podcast.
Yes. James Bradberry is playing at an all-pro level. It's tough for me to think of...
He's probably a top five cornerback in the league right now.
I was just about to see this. I was going to take this. I don't think that there's... There's not three cornerbacks that are playing better this year than James Bradberry,
yeah,
in my opinion. I mean, he is... He's balling. I mean, he is... This is... We're inching toward Bradberry Island.
Yeah, we are.
I'm serious. I mean, he's playing really well. And I love that what they did last week was that they put Bradberry on the number two receiver of the Redskins and were basically helping, I think it was Ryan Lewis who started opposite of Bradberry. They were helping Lewis with Terry McLaurin.
Yeah.
I like that. And Patrick Graham, that dude, I mean, it's early, but that dude might get some head coaching interviews.
Not this season, but I actually had the same exact thought for 2022.
I mean, you don't think that a team...
No, once they get more talent in there and the defense starts racking up actual sacks and actual numbers, I really think, not this upcoming offseason, but next, yes.
Yeah, but I won't be surprised if he's not getting some calls for interviews this year.
It would surprise me a little bit, but whatever. Regardless, kudos to him for the job he's doing.
Yes, I really do like what he's doing. And kudos, really, I'm going to say this. Outside of the conservative approach by Joe Judge, like punting on fourth and one from the 40 or kicking a field goal on the 2-yard line, he's been, I'll say this, the stuff that he has said about how he wants to run his team, he's actually showing it. He's showing the actions. And the big thing for me was how he's holding people accountable. It's not just like, oh, you know, right, you missed an assignment, go run a lap. No, this is teaching moments. Like, he is disciplining his guys, but at the same time teaching them. And so that's why when people say, like, are you, you know, sour on Joe Judge? No, I'm not sour on Joe Judge. Yes, there's some stuff that he needs to, you know, the conservative stuff is annoying, but, I mean, the guy is, he's getting a lot out of this team. And there's not a lot of talented guys out there, but he's getting a lot out of them. They're playing hard for him, and you know, when that's the case, that has to give you a sense of optimism about the coach moving forward.
Agreed. But again, I don't hate Judge the way that I wanted Shermer gone, the way that I wanted McAdoo gone. He has been a breath of fresh air. It's just too soon to tell. That's my point.
Yes. Definitely too soon to tell. But again, when you say something, like, it's one thing to say, like, to me, the easiest thing for a head coach is the introductory press conference. Because all you got to do is stand up there and say the generic stuff about accountability and culture and blah, 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 blah. But it's another thing to you know, follow through with what you're saying. And that's something that McAdoo and Shermer didn't do. But Joe Judge, 6 weeks into, you know, his first year, I mean, you're seeing it, that what this guy says, he actually means.
Yeah.
And you gotta like that.
Sure. Anything else on this game before we talk some more general stuff? I want to talk about the division.
Let's talk about the division. I don't want... There's nothing to talk about this game anymore. This game was just pathetic.
Did you watch the Cowboys last night?
I will say this about the Cowboys, okay? Every game, and I know he didn't play well last week, but every game that I see Mike McCarthy coach for the Cowboys further proves my belief that Aaron Rodgers is the greatest quarterback we've ever seen.
I am so happy that you just said that. In a vacuum, and until Mahomes does it for another 10 years, or Russell Wilson does it until he's 40, in my mind, Aaron Rodgers will be the most talented quarterback I have ever seen play. Brady is still the GOAT. He's got the rings.
Not my GOAT.
He's whatever. He's still the GOAT. And you know what? 8 years ago, 5 years ago, today, if you tell me I can start a team with any quarterback in the league, it's going to go today, Mahomes, and then Aaron Rodgers. Before Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers. I mean, the fact that this guy won one Super Bowl with Mike McCarthy is fucking unbelievable. This guy, yes. Ben McAdoo's overweight father, like, the looking pathetic as all hell on the sidelines, looking dejected, fucking week six, he's already got players chirping to the media that they hate him, that they're losing faith in him, that the coaching staff doesn't know what they're doing.
And they call them stupid.
Call them stupid. All because
they don't know what they're doing.
All because this fucking asshole visited the Pro Football Focus headquarters in the offseason and told everyone that he was a changed man. And you know what? The Giants were decently close to hiring him. How pathetic is that? That the Giants even had interest. Shows that they have no fucking clue what they're doing. But God bless Jerry Jones and the Cowboys, because they are the gift that keeps on giving. As bad as it is as a Giants fan, we can always look across town at the Jets, and we can look in within our division that the Cowboys somehow downgraded by firing Jason Garrett. It's just unbelievable. It's just remarkable.
And here's the thing about Rodgers. Like, if you look at the 10 greatest quarterbacks, right? You know, Tom Brady had Bill Belichick. Peyton Manning had Tony Dungy. Favre had Holmgren. Then that's when he had, you know, Sherman and McCarthy toward the end of his Green Bay career. If you look at all these great quarterbacks, you know, Walsh with Montana, Shula with Marino, all these great quarterbacks at one point in their career played with a great coach or Hall of Fame coach. Aaron Rodgers went from Mike McCarthy to Matt LaFleur. And the jury's still out on LaFleur. But
done a good job so far. Better than I thought.
Yeah. But how much still, is that? Because of Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So the Cowboys, they are... I think the Cowboys should trade for Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Dude! I was saying the same thing earlier.
I think Fitzpatrick going to Dallas and playing just well enough for Jerry Jones to consider him his next son. Like, sort of take that Tony Romo crown or a piece of that Tony Romo spotlight. Like, I'm ready for that. I'm ready for that badness. Because Jerry's getting old, man.
Yeah.
And he's not thinking clear. But the Dallas Cowboys, I mean, that team is... It's one thing to be a rebuilding team. It's another thing to be a team that is win now, got all these players with these big contracts, and to be this bad.
Yeah.
I mean, and for the Eagles, it just seems to me that Carson Wentz in one game will make you believe that the Eagles need to play Jalen Hurts. And another part of the game will make you believe that this dude is like a top five, top ten quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
I can't get a read on the Eagles. They just are always injured. Like, they're always in. They always have players.
It reminds me of the Giants teams of, like, what was it, 2015?
Yeah, 2014.
Yeah.
You know, and where the quarterback is just trying to do everything he can to win.
And everyone around him is hurt.
Yes. That's what I see from the Eagles. I think the Eagles are going to win the NFC East.
Okay.
I do. I think they're and the reason why I think is because as they get healthy and their schedule lightens up, like, their next four games, I think, are three of them are division games. So they got the Giants, then they got the Cowboys, then they got the Giants again, and then they got the Browns. So I could easily see them going 3-1 during that stretch.
Sure.
And if they're 3-1 during that stretch, they're going to be in first place. Now, after that, it gets a little bit scary because they get Seattle, Green Bay, New Orleans in back-to-back-to-back weeks. So, but this next 4 weeks are big for the Eagles. But I do think that they're going to win. They're going to end up winning this division. And that tie that they had earlier in the season is going to play a big role, I think.
Sure. That's just a pathetic, pathetic division. all right, what else do we want to talk about before we...
What percentage do you give the Giants on winning the division?
5%.
5%?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say 5%.
Yeah.
Yes.
They're still bad.
They are.
They're still very bad.
I mean, I think they like, you know, people say, like, they won a game that they should have lost.
Right.
You know, people always say, the Giants won a game, in my opinion, they should have lost.
Yeah.
The Redskins gave them 7 points, and the Redskins also missed a field goal.
They gave them
10
points, yeah.
Yes, and then they also missed a 2-point conversion that I thought they could have easily converted. And they still only lost by one.
Yeah.
But.
Unbelievable. All right. Let's do some questions. Let's see here. Trade for Julio Jones, and no thanks.
No.
The Giants should not be making any trades at the deadline.
And Atlanta can't trade Julio Jones. That contract is just...
You know whose contract is worse? Matt Ryan.
Yes. Well, I was looking at so I was having a discussion with somebody earlier, and I was saying that I think the 49ers after this year are going to look to bring in some competition for Jimmy Garoppolo. And I think Matt Ryan makes the perfect sense.
Yeah, I get it.
Yes,
yeah.
Kyle Shanahan. But I looked at the contract.
It's an abomination.
It's a tough contract to move on from.
$44 million in dead cap if they move on from him this year.
And then I looked at Julio's contract, because I was hoping that maybe Green Bay could make a move for Julio Jones since they didn't do anything to help Aaron Rodgers in the draft.
Right.
Maybe the Packers can make a move for Julio. But then I looked at Julio's contract, and I'm like, oh, my God, you can't move on from this either.
Yeah. It's not going to be an easy rebuild or a quick rebuild.
Yeah, no.
Interesting question. Does a healthy Giants team, mainly Saquon and Xavier McKinney, win this division?
No.
Yeah. I mean, Saquon didn't make a difference when he was healthy.
Yes.
McKinney, I love the potential of McKinney, but again, rookie secondary. It's tough.
Yeah. And the defense is playing well.
Right.
As well as they can right now.
Even without him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any hope in Jason Garrett rest of the year? Nope.
No. I'm done with Jason Garrett.
If we don't draft one, what quarterback would you bring in next year to compete with Dan Jones? Who's even a free agent?
Yeah, I don't know. What quarter? I mean, to me, when you say come in and compete with Daniel Jones, I mean, after this year, he's either your guy or he's not. But who would you bring in?
There's no one. It's like
Andy
Dalton, Philip Rivers.
Yeah. No,
Dak
no
Prescott.
Rivers. I don't think Philip Rivers is going to come here. I don't think Dak is going to be available.
Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to go Andy Dalton. You're going to go Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, there's no one. It's draft or bust. All right. Can we start a GoFundMe to send Gettleman and Garrett into the sun? I wish. What's the denominator looking like? I told you mine's at zero. What's yours at?
I am at 15%.
15%. Okay. Very low.
Because there's still things there where he makes certain plays where you're like, holy cow. Like that dime he threw to Darius Slayton. I was like, that's a good fucking throw. You know, fucking run that he had. It's an awesome run. You know, the guy is athletic. I mean, it's just the turnovers, to me, are the most concerning part of all of this.
Do you think it's realistic we draft a quarterback even if it's not Trevor Lawrence?
Do I think it's realistic that the Giants draft a quarterback even if it's not Trevor Lawrence? Yes, because if the Giants move on from Dave Gettleman, you're going to have a situation where there's a GM and a head coach here that have no ties to the quarterback.
Yeah, and but if that's the case, if John Mara only hires someone that says they'll keep Dan Jones around?
Believe it or not, I don't think that's going to be the case.
Okay.
I don't think. In here, because they don't. Daniel Jones is not Eli Manning, you know.
Fair enough.
And so I think that in this quarterback draft, you know, I don't think that they'll say, hey, if the new GM, whoever that is, or if Joe Judge comes to him and says, hey, you know, I like Justin Fields or I like Trey Lance, and I like him good enough to take him with the X pick. I don't think John Mara would say no.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't. And I know that might be, you know, wishful thinking, but I just don't think that's the case.
What would you do if Gettleman actually traded for a player at the deadline?
Which player?
Well, the example in the question was AJ Green. I would be
Why would they trade for AJ Green?
Everyone is talking about them trading for a receiver, and I absolutely hate it.
They already have a horrible receiver who's making $10 million a year. Who's in the back end of his career. Yes, and they don't have many draft picks available.
Correct.
They've traded their 7th, and I know it's not saying much. Their 5th is going to
the Jets.
It could be a 4th if Leonard Williams signs a long-term deal, although I have to go back and look at how that agreement worked. But they're getting rid of at least a 5th and a 7th. Those are going to be gone. I don't know how you can trade draft capital. I mean, is it because you think you can win the division?
It's just about again, it goes back to our first conversation about getting Dan Jones help.
I mean, in my opinion, if you're looking, the only thing I'll be okay with in terms of trading at this point would be obviously if you're selling off talent.
Right. They should be getting picks, not giving them away.
Yeah, or if you do like a player for a player.
Yeah.
Like if you take one of your 4 defensive tackles, right, let's say you take B.J. Hill, and you call, I don't know, you call, who's looking to trade? I mean, his receiver is the topic.
Seattle?
Right?
Yeah, oh, you're talking about rebuilding? If you're talking about just selling someone that needs defense.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, selling, obviously, you're talking to everybody that's a contender. But I'm talking in terms of people saying, well, they want to bring this receiver in.
Right.
I'm not saying you don't trade your draft pick for him. You try to take one of your players. So, like, if you John Ross, right? Oh,
God, yeah.
That was the one today. He requested a trade. If the Giants call and say, "Hey, we'll give you, you know, I don't know, B.J. Hill, right? Or you need line help, we'll give you, we'll give you Cam Fleming. I mean, just something hypothetical, sure. Player." And you give us John Ross, right? That I'm okay with that.
That's fine. Right?
But trading a draft and John Ross
even though I want
free
nothing
agent,
to do with John Ross.
Hypothetically speaking, player for player, I'm fine with. But trading draft picks, I mean, that's just horrible management of your draft picks.
Yeah. And then the next question is about Will Fuller, if the Texans are blowing it up again. I don't understand what people's fascination is with these like really fast receivers. The Giants are going to throw it downfield maybe once a game.
Here's the thing about Will Fuller. People talk about trading Evan Ingram because he can't stay healthy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Boy, they should. I've got something to tell them about Will Fuller.
Exactly.
And Will Fuller is a free agent after this year.
Another guy. It's like, no, stop trading for pending free agents.
Yeah.
What do you think is the best thing to do with Andrew Thomas and Matt Peart going forward? I think it's a Andrew Thomas to right tackle situation. I don't disagree. Like I said earlier, I don't care who plays what position as long as they do it well.
Yeah, I mean,
right tackle is just as important as left tackle in this NFL. So
I think if Andrew Thomas is going to be a successful offensive tackle in this league, he's going to be on the left side.
Okay.
And Matt Peart's going to be on the right side. But if he goes to right and Perk goes to left, I mean, I'm fine with it, man. I have no problem. Like I said, you come away out of one draft class finding your franchise left tackle and your franchise right tackle.
It's a win.
It's a huge win in today's NFL.
Uh, What positives did you see from Dan Jones?
Last week or through the season?
I guess the question's about last week. I mean, to me, it's just his ability to use his legs. It's really the only nice thing I can say about him.
That, yeah. He's more athletic than he gets credit for.
That's the test. Say something nice about Dan Jones and see what people respond with.
He's more athletic than he gets credit for, I think. Last week in the touchdown pass to Darius Slayton.
Okay.
And that's another guy I got to give love to.
Of course.
Darius Slayton. He's a good receiver. Mm-hmm. He's not great, but he's good.
He's good. With Trevor Lawrence locked up to the Jets, should the Giants fans turn their attention to Justin Fields or Trey Lance if Dan Jones continues to struggle?
I don't understand. I don't think that they are a lock to get Trevor Lawrence. I know they're really, really...
I believed the same as you until after Sunday.
No, I'm like,
dude,
look,
tell me. You can't tell me that there's another team that's worse than the Jets right now. And I know it's any given Sunday, any team can beat any team. With Adam Gase as the coach and that roster constructed as it is, you cannot tell me that the Jets are going to win a single football game this year.
I think that they will win a single football game this year.
Okay.
I do. I do think they'll win one.
I think you're crazy. But hey, crazier things have happened.
But they need to fire Adam Gase. The worst...
I agree.
The worst thing in the world, or in football, I shouldn't say the world. The worst thing in football is when players stop playing for a coach. Because it's so obvious and the product is so bad.
Like the Cowboys last night.
Yeah, but with Adam Gase, there were times, like multiple times during the game, where they would show him, and he'd be sitting on the bench with his head down, looking at a Microsoft tablet, and I'm listening to my, watching with my relative. I'm like, dude, that is not what a head coach does,
right?
Like, just because you're an offensive-minded head coach, that doesn't mean you can be this disengaged when your team is on defense. You're the coach of the football team, the head coach.
Yeah.
You're not the offensive coordinator. And it's not like he was sitting with the quarterback. The dude was sitting by himself. And this was like four or five times that I caught this. And I'm just like, this guy doesn't want to be the coach in the Jets no more.
Nope.
Like he doesn't want, like, and look, they're 0-6. They are a team that could go 0-16. The whole fan base hates him.
Yep.
I mean, I can't think of one person that doesn't want Adam Gase fired. And at this point, I mean, we're in a pandemic. You know, like, does this man really want to be flying, around the country playing football games with a bunch of people that don't want him around anymore?
Yeah.
Like, it's just a bad situation. And I just don't know what the Jets are doing.
Why are you wasting your time? They're tanking.
But you
they
can
know they're going to fire Adam
games.
Gase. They know they're going to fire him. But when your guy has the fucking 31st ranked defense and the 32nd ranked offense, hey, keep doing what you're doing, buddy. We're going to fire you at the end of the season. You can keep collecting these checks, and we're going to collect Trevor Lawrence in whenever the fucking draft is.
I still don't think the Jets are going to get the number one pick.
Hey, that would be hilarious. Great question right here, because I already know my answer. What's the Giants' record if Ryan Fitzpatrick is the quarterback?
You texted me this earlier.
They're 4-2. Three and three. Oh, sorry. That doesn't make... How many games have they played? They've played six games.
Six games, yes.
I think they're at worst 3-3.
I don't know. I think the Dolphins are exceeding expectations as a team.
Bro, Fitz has been good for like years. Like, yeah, he's always got like that two or three boneheaded games per year. Like a few bad throws, like always just brought in to get eventually replaced by a younger quarterback. But like he's got to be the best backup in NFL history.
Well, here's their wins, okay? They've beaten the Jaguars, the Jets, and then the 49ers.
Okay.
Right? the Giants have played. This is the Giants' schedule.
But you have to consider the situation the Giants were in those games. Like, we've already discussed the fact that the quarterback for the football Giants had opportunities to win them three of those losses.
But do you think that with Ryan Fitzpatrick, they'd be in the same situation?
Yes. Probably even a better situation.
So do they beat the Bears with Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Yes.
Do they beat the
I think they beat the Steelers and the Rams.
Ooh, I don't know about the Steelers. I'll give you the Rams.
Okay, then you're still 3-3.
Matter of fact, no.
Then you're still 3-3.
They lose to the Rams, but I'll give you the Cowboys.
Okay, fine.
So yeah.
3-3.
He has been playing good.
Okay.
That's why I think
that's crazy about it. If Ryan Fitzpatrick was the Giants quarterback, we're leading the division right now. Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Let me ask you this. Who's a bigger problem with the Giants? The coordinator or the quarterback?
Oof.
To me, it's the coordinator. No, not
it's
a down
close.
The line.
It's like a 1A, 1B.
No. I think like Jason Garrett is bad, man.
Yeah, he's. I mean, yeah. So is Daniel Jones.
But here's what I'll say. Last year, Daniel Jones didn't look this bad. Like he played well in a lot of games. I just feel like this conservative. I mean, it's a very bad offense. You know, and at the very least, you know, you can say that he's regressed under Jason Garrett.
All right. I mean, I agree with you. I think Garrett's worse, but I really don't think there's a huge gap in the rankings there. All right. I think that's it for the questions. Final thoughts?
That is it for the questions. Yeah, I have one final thought.
Okay.
I have enrolled myself in a cigar club.
Really?
In Washington, D.C. Yes.
That's awesome. I'm a big cigar guy myself.
Me too. I'm one of the youngest members of this
club. That makes a lot of sense. I've been to many a cigar bar in Manhattan where I have been the youngest by about 25 years.
Now, what got me hip to cigars was when I was in Venice last year, I bought a couple of Cubans and I smoked them and I brought some back to the United States and I gave it to people.
You know, I've been to Cuba.
You have?
Yeah. So
I want to go.
My grandpa was a big cigar guy. And
really?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not as big a cigar. I mean, so fun fact. My grandpa smoked 2 packs a day for 20 years. And then smoked a pipe when he, quote-unquote, quit cigarettes. And, you know, smoked cigars. Lived until he was 99 with no cancer. Which is just like a scientific revelation, like mystery. But yeah, I'm a big cigar guy. Probably got that from him. And I went to Cuba, I want to say 2017, 2018. I went to like the tobacco farms and got the hand-rolled cigars. And was,
wow.
You know, showing the proper way to go about it, and like you dip the mouthpiece in like honey or coffee whiskey before you like smoke certain types of tobacco, and it enhances the flavor. Yeah, it's crazy shit.
Yeah,
you gotta go to Cuba, man.
I want to, but where my work, the field that I'm in, it's tough for me to go to places like Cuba. But here's what I'll say. So I about a year ago, or 6 months ago, prior to the pandemic, I had a friend of mine, a very close friend of mine, who went to Cuba, mm-hmm. and he brought back some pre-Castro cigars.
Okay.
Now, for those people that don't know much about cigars, and I didn't know this either, so don't feel bad, but that's incredibly rare. They're incredibly expensive. And obviously, given the whole, you know, situation with bringing Cuban cigars to the States, how illegal that is or tough to do.
I think it's legal now, but it's like very limited.
It's very limited. So
I brought
what
back
you can
like
do is,
30 or something.
You brought back 30. So he brought back about 50.
There you go.
But he did get a lot of questions about it because they were all boxed up and it looked like, you know, well, whatever.
Yeah.
The point being is, he gave me a couple. And these cigars are probably, so it's a Camacho Cuban. It's pre-cash. It's about, I researched an alliance, about a $200, $300 cigar. It ain't cheap. Yeah. He also gave me a really nice lighter, too. That's about a $100 lighter.
Wow.
I have that, too.
You got a good friend.
He hooked me up. I do, because I brought him back a whole 25-pack of Cubans from Italy, and they weren't cheap, and I gave it to him, and he sort of, you know, did this for me. He gave me three of them. So the one I'm saving for when I become a daddy.
Mazel.
Yes. The second one I was saving for when the Giants win the Super Bowl.
It might be a while.
And because that doesn't seem likely, it might be a while, I thought about it today when I was rearranging my cigar pack or box. I might light this up if the Giants fire Dave Gettleman and hire somebody from the outside realm.
I'll smoke a cigar over FaceTime with you when that happens.
And I was thinking about, because a lot of people ask me this, they're like, what do you look like, right? And I was thinking that I might record myself lighting the cigar. And believe it, these are men asking me to do a face reveal. I swear to God. I'm not gonna put them on blast. I'm not gonna share their DMs, but I get some crazy messages from people asking me what they need to do for me to reveal my identity.
Bizarre, but sure.
And some of them say, "Well, are you like a?" I've got people ask me, "Do you play for the Giants?" I'm
like, is this a burner? Is this whole podcast a burner?
I've never told you this in private, but I will share some crazy stuff with you that I get. But I was thinking about doing that, and I was thinking about lighting this $300 cigar when the Giants fire Dave Gettleman.
How about instead of when they fire Dave Gettleman, when they hire the right person?
Yeah, there you go. Because okay. If they hire Kevin Abrams. No, I'm not doing that.
Right.
I'm not going to light a cigar for them firing Dave. A $300 cigar for Kevin Abrams? Yeah. Are you kidding me? A $300 cigar? You want to light a $300 cigar for the Giants? You're right. So I'm going to save it if they fire Dave Gettleman and hire somebody from the outside.
Perfect. I actually got a couple cigars in my drawer, so I'm all set. So I can't wait for this.
Yes, I will do that. I will do that.
Amazing.
The cigar smells so good. I can't even. Every day I look at it, you know, I like to smoke one, you know, every 3-4 days,
yeah.
Depending on the mood. But, you know, I might do that. You know, that's how much I think the Giants got to move on from this dude.
Love it. I'll be joining you. All right, we wrapping up.
Yes.
All right. Cigar face revealed to cap off an episode. Yes. All right. Follow me on Twitter. You can follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Talk to you guys. I don't know when. If they're playing Thursday, maybe we'll do, you know, two episodes next week. Who knows? But we'll talk to you soon.
Yes, we will.
Peace.